Jesus' name we worship. We want to again welcome everybody to this special worship service for Easter Sunday. And I have a very important message I would like to share with us on this very special Easter Sunday. In my lifetime, and I think in the lifetime of anybody on earth today, we have never had an Easter like this Easter. This is the first Easter in which everybody has been asked to stay at home. All churches like our church here are empty just for a few priests or pastors, you know, that are recording their services and sending it out live. And it came to my heart, the scripture that says, "Be still and know that I am God." While God was not and is not the author of the coronavirus, the Bible says that for this cause was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says God sent Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we know all sickness is satanic oppression. It doesn't come from the God. However, God in his wisdom has used it to draw our attention, to give glory to who glory belongs, and to ask ourselves very important questions. Why is this kind of thing happening? How can we overcome it? Is it due to something we've done or something we're not doing? See, God is a good God. God is a very good God. Sickness, disease, calamities do not come from God. They come as a consequence of man's sin and man's disconnect with God, separation from God. God, like a mother that is connected to a baby, is the one who supplies life and power to us to cause our lives to be beautiful and wonderful. When we disconnect from God through sin, through separation from Him, we become prey to Satan and all the distortions of nature that come as a consequence of that separation. And that's the reason for all the terrible things that are happening. And God is now using this occasion to say, I need you to reconnect back. For those of you who are at home watching me now, you may be born again, you may not be born again. I want you to know something. The only way out of this peril, this plague that is coming to the earth now, is to reconnect back with God. For those who are reconnected, get closer to Him. There's a powerful scripture in the book of James. It says, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Observe. The initiative is with you. If you draw nigh unto God, when God sees that honesty of heart, when God sees that sincerity of heart, God will move. He will draw nigh unto you and He will now give you His grace, His mercy, His power to overcome these coronavirus and any other thing. And I've got important information for us from the scriptures. This coronavirus is just one. There are many perils of the end time that are still ahead. And this is the time, this time of shutdown, this time of lockdown. Use this time wisely. Use it to get closer to God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word of God. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost so that you can get the spiritual strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in this evil day to overcome these end time perils. And so I want to, this is an introduction. I've not started my message, you know, but it's an exhortation that's just in my heart. I know a lot of people are afraid. A lot of people are hurting. Some people have lost loved ones. And our heart goes out to you. And God Himself, you know, He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. This is not the will of God. And that's why God is trying to call our attention. You know, if you're a father in the natural, you know, I'm a father, you know, my wife and I, we have our children, and God forbid you see your son going into danger. Maybe a little child and he doesn't know better. Maybe he's ignorant, you know, and he's on the road and there's a lorry or something, a trailer that is coming, that's going to, you start shouting, stop, stop, don't run, don't go there. Why are you doing that? It's because you love the child. And that's what the prophetic voice does. The prophetic voice is a trumpet to get our attention so that we can turn away from our wicked ways, our disobedient ways, and not run into the danger that is ahead of us that we are ignorant of, simply because we're oblivious of what is going on in the spiritual realm. And so, today, I have a very simple but very important message. And I have entitled it, Resurrection Power Now. Everyone say, Resurrection Power Now. I didn't hear you. Now. Not at the rapture. Now. See, every Christian believes in the resurrection. Every Christian believes, you know, yes, you know, Jesus died and he'll come again and he will, you know, be resurrected. But do you believe in resurrection power now? And that is the issue. Shall we bow to pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. As we enter your word, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing. So I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, in all their homes, online, you know, through the YouTube and all the different platforms. That, Lord, those words will flow freely and do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak that the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to heal, to deliver, to break yokes, to set men free, wherever these words are heard and released in all the earth, so that, Lord God, they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver this word, that I will do it with precision. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life agreed with me at home individually and said, Amen. See, amen isn't just a religious tag you put at the end of a prayer. It actually means so be it. It is two things in combined. It is a prayer of agreement and it's a prayer of faith. When you say amen, you say so be it for me. And you agree with the person praying. And the Bible says, if two of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. And all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are for you, yea and amen. Resurrection power now. Turn with me your Bible to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 24 through 26 to start with, as the Lord helps me. This is the story of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, raising Lazarus from the dead. It's a story I've preached on many, many times, and I'm sure we'll still preach for many, many times in the years and the days to come. And the background is that Lazarus, Martha, and Mary were close friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. They lived in a town called Bethany. Bethany means the house of figs, and it's not too far from Jerusalem, you know. And Jesus often used to stay in their house. There were people who, you know, they used to entertain the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples, and Jesus used to move quite a crowd, so it would used to be quite expensive for them to do so, but they did it with gladness. They loved Jesus. They would cook for him and feed him and his apostles, and you know, maybe sometimes he had, you know, 100 people with him, sometimes he had 50 people, 20 people, you know. So they did that. Remember the story of Martha and Mary in the Bible, where Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet when he was teaching, and Martha had gone to the kitchen to go and make food, and she was upset that Mary didn't join her, and Jesus gave her a gentle rebuke and said, "Martha, you're troubled about many things, but only one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." You know, Jesus didn't say they shouldn't prepare food, but he said you should give time to the things of the Spirit, and then after I finish, then you can go and prepare the food, you know, and it'll be fine. So they had a good relationship with him, and they had a brother called Lazarus. Now, this Lazarus was sick, and the sickness was very, 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 very serious, and it looked as if he was going to die. So they quickly sent a message to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, in those days, there were no mobile phones. You know, there were no, the communication was by word of mouth, you know, and they probably would send somebody, you know, with a donkey or a horse or, you know, some chariot or something to go. So he got the message, but Jesus wasn't where they were. And they expected the Lord Jesus to come immediately to pray for Lazarus so Lazarus would not die. It's needless to say they knew Jesus so well. They had seen him heal so many people in his ministry, you know, down, you know, this was, you know, in the last 2-3 years, you know, when they had known him. So they were confident that if he came, Lazarus would not die. But Jesus did something strange, which all of us need to learn to do. Hear from God. Don't just rush because of emotion. Jesus didn't go there immediately. He waited where he was. And the Bible says he actually spent 2 days there. And I know he was praying. Then after some time, he now got up and told his disciples, "Let's go to Lazarus. I'm going to go and waken him up." Jesus knew Lazarus had died, even though nobody had told him he was dead. The message that was sent was that he was sick. But Jesus, in the place of prayer, Jesus knew that Lazarus had died. So he now said, "Let's go so that I will awaken him." They didn't even understand at first. They thought Lazarus was sleeping. That shows you how spiritually, you know, insensitive they were. They couldn't pick it in the spirit. So Jesus told them plainly, you know, "Lazarus is dead." Now, I want to use that to say something to us as Christians. Sometimes we get legalistic about confession of faith. You know, like, "Oh, if you say it, you know, then it won't come to us." Jesus knew Lazarus was dead, you know. Now, he said, "I was going to awaken him," meaning that he was trusting God to raise Lazarus from the dead. But Jesus telling them the fact that Lazarus was dead did not negate Jesus' faith. You see, sometimes we try and say, "Oh, I won't say that, I won't say that, it's not my portion," you know, and then we deny facts. Faith is not denying facts. You need to accept that this is a fact, but then there is a greater truth that can overcome the fact. Yes, Lazarus is dead, but let us go. I'm going to awaken him. So he goes, he comes to Bethany, and Mary meets him first, then Martha, and they make a big fuss, you know, a big emotional fuss. They said, "Lord, if you had come, my brother would not have died," and they were crying and all of that. And Jesus was, he was put off. Not by them, because he understood where they were coming from emotionally. He didn't condemn them, but he was not happy with their spiritual condition that, you know, Satan had been able to just, you know, make them, put them in that kind of condition. Whereas Jesus knew he was going to raise him from the dead. So, in trying to comfort them and encourage them, Jesus makes a statement. Let's actually read from verse 23. Oh, okay, let's read from verse 21. I was going to read from verse 24. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." In other words, you wasted time. You should have come earlier. I thought you loved us. All of that was not said, but that's in the heart. You see, God always looks at our hearts. You know, what she said, there were a lot of other things she didn't say, but they were inside the heart. And you know, all of us are like that with God. Sometimes God will do something or something will not happen, and then you will say, "Well, Lord, you know," but you won't, there are some things you won't say, but they are there. But the one you say and the one you don't say, God hears everything. And so, And then she was hanging on to a hope. She said, but I know, verse 22, hello? But I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, he will give it thee. She was exploring her faith. Maybe. He's dead, but I know that. I've seen you do so many things. You know, you have to come from their background to be able to appreciate what she was doing and why she was doing this. See, when I read the Bible, I like the Holy Spirit to help me to put me inside the situation at that time. And that's what makes the Bible real. That's why the Holy Spirit gives us revelation. She had heard about Jairus' daughter. She had heard about the son of the widow of Nain. And Jesus stayed with them. So all these stories, they were not things that they hadn't heard about. She had heard Jesus had raised people. So she was saying, yeah, even now. Then Jesus affirms her faith. Verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, I didn't hear you. Thy brother shall rise again. Now, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She thought that was what Jesus was talking about. When you observe, Jesus didn't immediately say that I am going to pray for Lazarus now and he will raise from the dead. He simply said, thy brother shall rise again. So in her thinking, she said, well, okay, that means I know he's going to rise again on the last day at the resurrection. I know that from the scriptures. These were people who were Jews. They knew their Bible. They were close to Jesus. They knew what God said and all of that. So she agreed, you know, yeah, sure, he's going to be raised again, you know, on the last day. And unlike the Holy Spirit just flashed this to me now. Unlike the case of Jairus, there was not, as it were, a present promise to raise Lazarus at that day. See, in Jairus' case, the daughter was sick, you know, and Jairus came and said, please come and heal her. Jesus said, I'll come. Then they are on the way, the woman with the issue of blood delays Jesus, gets her healing. Then messengers come from the house and they say, don't worry Jesus anymore, your daughter is dead. Now, in that case, Jesus said, fear not, only believe. So he was telling, she's going to be fine. But in this case, he didn't say anything like that. He just said, thy brother shall rise again. In other words, the way she interpreted it was, okay, when on resurrection day, Lazarus will rise again. Then Jesus now corrected that wrong thinking. Verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am. Everybody shout it, I am. Say it again. Say it again. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, I am that I am. This is the same I am of Exodus. He hasn't changed. Hallelujah. He told Moses, said, what will I tell them? I said, I am that I am. And then when he was speaking to the Jews, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Now he says it again, I am. He's the same God. He hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God of the Old Testament. He's the God of the New Testament. Now, this truth I want to get across to us is so important, particularly in this day and hour in which we're living with this coronavirus and all the perils of the end time. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm not going to be the resurrection. I am the resurrection now. And whosoever liveth, I didn't hear you, and believeth in me shall never die. B believest thou this? That question is still reverberating down through the corridors of time. Jesus is still asking all of us this question. He said to her, I'm not going to be the resurrection. I am the resurrection now. In my own opinion, you know, to the glory of God, I believe this is one of the greatest faith statements Jesus ever made in his life and in his ministry. He was going to die. Jesus was going to be crucified just 2 weeks down the road. You know, less than a week, you know, less than 2 weeks, maybe 10 days. And he was saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And he himself had not yet been resurrected. He was calling the things which are not as though they were. By his faith in God. You see, faith is believing invisible realities, accepting them as facts, even though they have not yet been made manifest to the physical senses. That's a very brief definition of what faith is. And the Lord Jesus was exercising faith here. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He was telling her what she was going to do in just a few minutes' time. Your brother is dead. But because as I speak to you now, I am the resurrection and the life. What is resurrection? Resurrection is raising from the dead. But what is the thing that causes it? Life. Jesus knew he had the life of God in him. And he had it in abundance. He didn't just have life, he had it more abundantly. So he knew that the life of God that was inside him was in sufficient measure to raise Lazarus from the dead now. Not at the resurrection. And it is this mindset that God wants us to have. We need to understand, yes, the resurrection happened 2,000 years ago. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ I'm talking about. And there is still a resurrection that is coming at what we call the rapture, in which our bodies are going to be raised from the, you know, those who have died, their tombs are going to open. The dead in Christ will rise first. Though we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That is coming. But there is a resurrection life and power that is available now. Everybody say now. Too many of us are like Martha. We think like Martha. We say, yes, we believe. I believe in the resurrection. I believe that I'll be raised from the dead. But I do not believe that resurrection power can raise the dead now. How many Christians really believe that? We don't. Most of us don't believe it. I don't believe in the efficacy, in the manifestation of resurrection life now. I believe it for the future, but I don't believe it now. Hence this very important prophetic message for this particular Easter Sunday. All of us as Christians need to shift our faith from the future to the present. Resurrection power now. And resurrection power now will deal with coronavirus. It will deal with all the perils of the end time. The resurrection power exists now. It's not only when Jesus comes at the rapture. It exists now. Just like Jesus demonstrated to Martha that resurrection power was available at that time he was talking, before Jesus himself had even gone to the cross, before he had been raised from the dead. He already had the life of God inside him. You know what he said? He said, as the Father hath life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. It was that life he used to raise Jairus' daughter. It was that life he used to raise the son of the widow at Nain. It was that life he used to heal the woman with the issue of blood. It was that life all the 3 years of his ministry, all those wonderful miracles we saw, it was the life of God that was in him, converted to power through prayer and through speaking, the speaking of God's word, that did all of that. And he's telling us today, April the 12th, in the year of our Lord 2020, that life is available for you now. Don't wait. Don't wait until the resurrection. You can enjoy resurrection power and resurrection benefits. Ever say resurrection benefits? And I'm going to share a few of them with you. You know, there's a lot of things that are available to us now before the resurrection. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Yeah, exactly. Look at the Message Bible. You don't have to wait for the end. Everybody say that to your neighbor. Say, you don't have to wait until for the end. You don't have to wait for the rapture. I am right now. I didn't even know this was in the Message Bible. Resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. I've said something prophetically, and I'm going to keep saying it as a trumpet. By the grace and the mercy of God, you know, we are going, raising the dead is going to become common. It's not going to be everywhere. Just like speaking in tongues has become common, but it's not everywhere. It's not everybody who speaks in tongues and prays in tongues, you know. But more people pray in tongues now than, you know, in yesteryears. In the same way, raising of the dead now is not very common, but it's going to become common. Because there are going to be Christians who are going to learn the secret of living. I'm quoting E.W. Kenyon, a great apostle of God. You know, the transcendent resurrection life of the Son of God amongst men. And they are going to give a befitting ending to this dispensation. You see, so many Christians, resurrection life is not real to them. They believe in it at the end, but they don't believe for it now. Now, God gave me a word that I want to share with us about Abraham and Sarah. It's a prophetic word. It is a now word. It is the kind of word Paul says, this is a worthy saying, acceptable, which there is no contradiction. Hear the word. Just like God gave life to the physical bodies of Abraham and Sarah to transform their physical bodies so that they could give birth to Isaac, so in these last days, God is going to give life into the physical bodies of Christians who walk with him and grow into the perfection of fullness of Christ to manifest the fullness of the Son of God. That's why the Bible says we should look to Abraham and Sarah, the rock from which we are hewn. Abraham and Sarah are a type of God giving life to physical in this life. Not at the resurrection. He gave life to physical. Abraham's body was as good as dead. He was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. Yet, God gave life to their physical bodies so that they could give birth to the promise. God is going to give life to the physical bodies of you and I so that we can manifest the promise. The promise of the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. You can take that statement to the bank. Just like God gave life to the physical bodies of Abraham and Sarah. And you know what? That life transformed them. So much so that Sarah became so beautiful, a king wanted to marry her. Which king would want to marry a 90-year-old woman? With all the wrinkles and, you know, her breast would have been flat, you know, her body. You know what a 90-year-old woman would look like. Yet, Abimelech saw her and said, he wants her in a harem. It means that a transformation, not a resurrection. Everybody say transformation, not resurrection. A transformation had taken place in the physical body of Sarah that had renewed her youth so magnificently that he was attractive. This is not fairy tales or cunningly devised words. It happened. It was that transformation of the bodies of both of them, Abraham and Sarah, that led to the birth of Isaac. It is a transformation of our own physical bodies that's going to lead to the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, you have to have a revelation of that. And that's why the Apostle Paul prayed the Ephesian 1 prayer. And part of that prayer was that God would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So the eyes of our understanding will be flooded with light, enlightened, so that we will know. You see, most Christians don't know by revelation this truth. One, the hope of His calling. Christ in us, the hope of glory, which is the perfection and fullness of Christ. Two, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The wisdom of how to inherit this fullness of Christ. Three, the exceeding greatness of the resurrection power. You know, you're not going to know it at the rapture. You have to know it now. That's why you pray that prayer. When you have a revelation of that, you will now know how to put it inside your physical body, so that it will manifest the fullness of the Son of God. You see, Isaac was God's promise to Abraham. The fullness of Christ is God's promise to us. So, just as God was faithful to Abraham to give birth to Isaac, God is faithful to give birth to the fullness of the Son of God in us. And it is because of the greatness, the implication of the greatness of this promise. You know, if you think about it deeply, what it means is that you and I will become exactly like Jesus when He was on the earth, and greater, according to Him. And you know, it's difficult to believe. Let's be honest. Let's be very honest. That, you know, just like it was difficult for Abraham to believe that they could have a son in their old age. And Sarah laughed. But the Bible tells that they changed. Their attitude and their faith changed. And you need to change this Easter Sunday. The Bible says that Sarah judged him faithful. And by faith received strength. Where was the strength? In the physical body. Strength, life, dunamis, power. That's what she received. She received transformational power that changed her body, and she conceived the baby. Bible says Abraham hope with hope, you know, against hope, he believed. Let's look at it. It's Romans chapter 4. We're going to come back here in a minute. This message would change your life permanently. It's an instructional faith message. He said in verse 17, Romans chapter 4, in verse 17, I'll read in the King James first, and then maybe look at one or two other translations. I like the New International on this too, and maybe Message. He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. You see, brethren, when you read this Bible, read it with the Holy Spirit helping you to put yourself in the situation that Abraham was at that time. See, when we read the Bible many times, we read it with all the background information of 2,000 years, everything that we know. And therefore, sometimes we miss the import of what really happened at that time. There is a man who is 75 years old. Then after about 20 years, 95, 96, 97, 90, he still hadn't had the baby. God told him when he was 75, 25 years later, nothing had happened. Here we are, we've been preaching the glory of God for 25 years. 1995, since the day of the Lord. And here we are. Up till now, it has not yet happened. But it will happen. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. Before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth, means give life, to the dead, and calleth the things which are not as though they are. Let me just make a statement here. You see, they said God made the world out of nothing. That's not really true. He made the world out of what cannot be seen. It's not nothing. is just what is not perceptible to the physical senses. So God calls what is not as though it is by the power that is inside him to create and make that thing become a reality. That's what faith is. That's why Jesus says, speak to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in her, but shall believe that the thing which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. The saying is three times there. Believing is only once. In that Mark 11:23. What you are actually doing is you are taking invisible power to create something visible. That's what faith is. And that's what God, Abraham had to realize. So God now told him, said, look, I know you're old. I know your wife has been barren all these years. But I am telling you that this Ishmael is not going to be your heir. That you are going to have a son that you and Sarah will conceive. You know, your seed will go into Sarah's womb and she will conceive and have a son. It was not, folks, it was not easy for him to believe it. But what did he do? Because he knew God's integrity and that God cannot lie. He said, who against hope believed in hope? Put yourself in Abraham's position, folks. All hope was lost. 99. 90. That's why the Bible says, who against hope believed in hope? That he might be, come, the father of many nations. Let's say today that you and I might manifest the glory of God. That you and I will manifest the fullness of the Son of God. It's not easy to believe. You pray for people, they don't get well. You know, some get well. Sometimes you pray, some things happen. Sometimes things, you know. So sometimes you. But God is telling us we must have the same mindset as Abraham. Watch this. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That's why he showed him the stars. And the Bible says, and Abraham believed God. And God counted it to him for righteousness. And being not weak in faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, you must not be weak in faith. In this Easter time, in this Easter Sunday, in this lockdown time, in this coronavirus time, your faith must get strong. It must not be weak. Use this lockdown time to strengthen your faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Spend hours in the Bible. Praying tongues. Build up yourself on your muscles. Your faith cannot afford to be weak. Because we must manifest the Son of God to deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. They are waiting for us. They don't know what they are waiting for, but we know. They are waiting for us. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Now dead. Now of course, we know he wasn't clinically dead. But what it means is that the body, as far as having a child was concerned, it was no longer functional. When he was about 100 years old, I didn't hear you, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Let me bring that to you and I. Look at your own body now. Still get cold? You still feel weak? You see the infirmities in this physical body. And you ask yourself, how will this physical body manifest the life of God? The book of Romans actually says that. He says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is alive because of righteousness, because of right standing. It's the same, we're in exactly the same position as Abraham. We can see, we're not physically dead, but we can see that our physical bodies are spiritually dead, and they are, instead of being conductors of the power of God, they are insulators. We see that. Let's be honest. You see, this is what I spoke about where Jesus said Lazarus is dead. It's not a negative confession. Accepting the present physical facts is not a lack of faith. What we now need to do is take the truth of God's word to supersede it. And do you know what Paul said in the book of Romans? He said in Romans, the same Romans, but later on, he said that, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall give life into your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That is resurrection life now. That's not at the resurrection. That's not at the rapture. It's now. 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 Resurrection power now. Now, what must we do? I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to get back there. But let me just mention it, you know, and I'll expatiate on it before I close. You know, we must put the life of God into the physical body. Now, that is a truth most Christians don't know about and do not actively practice in faith. God put life into Abraham's body. He put life into Sarah's body, and they gave birth to Isaac. God will put life into your physical body, and you will manifest the fullness of the Son of God. In this lifetime, now, not when we get to heaven. No wonder why the scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. Not when we get to heaven, in this world. In this world. Resurrection, life, and power now. And the world needs it. This coronavirus has brought the thing to the fore. And that is why you and I as Christians, this Easter, we have to step up to the plate. The whole world is waiting. I was telling God today, I said, God, they're waiting for us. Enough of talk. Let's see this glory. Moses says, show me your glory. Lord, let this life be made manifest in our mortal flesh. We looked at this in my Bible study in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, where it says that the life of God made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now! He said that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now! Now, to help you, I want to share one or two things with us. Observe. Every Christian, listen to what I'm about to say, very important. Every Christian has a witness in his heart of the reality of the resurrection. I was not there 2,000 years ago when Jesus was raised from the dead. I wasn't there physically. I read about it in the Bible. Then I believed it. I accepted him as my Lord and my Savior. With my heart, I believed unto right standing. Then with my mouth, I made confession unto salvation. And something supernatural happened. My heart changed. What changed it? That resurrection power. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to come back to Romans 17. Let me just quickly run there and run back. 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 3. This is one of the, I remember reading this many, many years ago, and it struck me. You know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again. I would say, born again. Say, this is how you got born again. Unto a living hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is why the resurrection is fundamental to our faith. You cannot be born again without the resurrection. Because it is, watch this, it is the power that came out of the resurrection that gets your spirit born again.
That is why when you get born again, the Bible says every man that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. So that witness is a witness of the reality of the resurrection. So you are being born again is a testimony to the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. Your heart changed supernaturally. Your nature changed supernaturally. I can tell you my own experience. I changed, and I knew I had changed inside. And then we went further, and then God filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues in a supernatural language we never learned. In particular, I had this experience when I was in Imperial College. I spoke in Aramaic because I had a roommate who was half Hebrew, half Indian, and he told me what I said. So it wasn't secondhand information. Now, where did I get that from? Resurrection power. That is the evidence that the resurrection power is real. So I have one more step to go. I've got it in my heart. I've got it in my tongue. And I want it now in the rest of my body. To the point where it will produce the same miracles I see in the life of Jesus. Let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. It tells us what Abraham did. He said he considered not his own body. Just like we should not. You know, you look at your body, you accept the fact, and then you believe that what God has said can supersede what you are seeing in your body now. You see, do you know that as born-again, spirit-filled Christians, if we have the life of God, notice I use the word if, because it's a process we have to walk in and develop. If we have the life of God manifesting in our mortal flesh, observe my words, in sufficient measure, no sickness should be able to attach itself to us. You should not be able to. Not even the common cold. It's true. Now, I'm not saying we're there yet, but I'm saying this is, you look at Jesus' life and ministry. Now, Jesus had a natural body. It was not a glorified body. It was a natural body. Our bodies need to be transformed. It is not a resurrection, it's a transformation. To be like the physical body of Jesus. Jesus was tired, he sat on the well. Hello? Jesus was hungry, he ate. Do you understand? Jesus was tired, he slept. So it was a natural body. But that body had so much Zoe. It had so much life inside it. Sickness could not attach itself to it. The only time he became sick was on the cross. And he allowed it. The only time he became sin, notice he never committed sin. But he became sin on the cross to pay the price for us. In the same way, he was never sick in his life. But he allowed himself, he allowed sickness, he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes we were healed so that he could heal us. He only became sin, sickness, sick, and poor on the cross. Where in his lifetime he was never sick. He was never poor. So in the same way, you and I, if we put the life of God into our physical members in sufficient measure, now that's the key word there, then we should manifest the same power and glory he did. Women with the issue of blood should touch us and be healed instantly without prayer. Can you imagine that? It was that same power God gave it to the apostles as a borrowed anointing that they hadn't inherited because they were baby Christians on the day of Pentecost. The Bible tells us that Peter would be walking on the streets of Jerusalem. And they said, go and read it. I can't go there because of time. You know, the Bible says, and they brought multitudes. Go and read it. Go and read it. They brought multitudes in beds, you know, on the street that maybe the shadow of Peter will pass, and he says, and all were healed. Go and check it. Can you imagine that happening in Ibadan? Oh, it's going to happen. I believe God. You see, that's why this message is coming. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We must not be like Martha. We must, thank you, I'll read in a minute. We must not be like Martha and say, oh, it will happen in the, you know, at the resurrection. Now, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the street, they should be bringing the coronavirus people to the church. And we are walking by them. We don't have to pray. If that power is in sufficient measure, and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter, not even Peter. What I was saying earlier on about Jesus, there was so much, you know, if you have a superconductor, when you have a superconductor and an electric current is going in through it, because there is zero resistance, it creates a powerful magnetic field. So everything in the immediate environment, that's what was happening here. But it was a borrowed anointing. It was an anointing Jesus gave them. Next verse. And there came also a multitude. He didn't say a few. A multitude out of the cities round about them, not only Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed a few. This is unbelievable. Everyone. This is Peter. This is borrowed anointing. I'm throwing a challenge out. That's why God said I should share this message. Resurrection power now! Now! They should be saying, if you just take the people near those people, they will get healed. No prayer. He didn't say Peter prayed for them. He said that you all bring them near. And he said they were healed, everyone. They should take them away when they come near us. Take them back to the something. Do the test, and it tests negative immediately. The purpose of this resurrection life and power. We already have it. It's inside. It was what got us born again. It's already there. We have the earnest of it. We speak in tongues. That's supernatural. And we thank God for that. We will not despise your small beginnings. But my dearly beloved brethren, this Easter, I challenge you, we cannot stop there. We have to move on from the earnest to the spirit without measure. The world is dying. The world is suffering. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 19. I'm going to read this to us. Romans chapter 8. This is the purpose of the manifestation of the sons of God. And I want to say this, you know, because I hear this often in the church, and because people don't have this understanding. Yeah, I'm a child of God. You see, this is not for children, this is for sons. Now, of course, we're all children of God. Don't misunderstand me. But, you know, this maturity. There is a level of maturity and perfection. The measure of what my wife said, when we're going to start this church, when I was in Imperial College, when God called me in 1980, that was a scripture he gave me, Ephesians chapter 4. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The time for its manifestation is now. The world is waiting. Now, let's read verse 19. I'm going to read verses 19 through 23. I'll read in King James and then maybe look at one or two other translations as the Holy Spirit directs. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Give me, stop and quickly go to message and then come back. Quickly go to message. The created world itself can hardly wait for what is coming next. Look at this in the New International Version. The creation, that is men, animals, trees, vegetation, You know, the whole planet is in a mess because of the distortion that has come about by man's separation from God. I'm going to spend a minute on this. That's very, very important. You see, Satan is an angel. Great angel. God made him like that. Lucifer. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was in charge of the earth. You can see this in Ezekiel 28. We don't have time to turn there. He was the one that was in charge. The Bible says he was the anointed cherub that covereth. When he was with God, the power and the wisdom, it was God who gave it to him. And he managed the planet properly. When Lucifer fell and lost his contact with God, he still got the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. He still had his wisdom, but his wisdom now became corrupted. I want you to understand where all these things are coming from. Satan is not God. He is not omnipotent. He has power. Don't misunderstand me. But he does not have all power. There is a limit to what he can manage. And the truth about the matter is that when the planet came under his control, there's a limit to how much power he can keep things going. That is why there is so much destruction and misery. He has exercised himself in matters that are above him. He does not have creative ability. He can only distort what God has made. He cannot create. And that is why all these things that are happening are a consequence. You know, the weather, the Sahara Desert, and all the distortions, the climatic, the geographic, the vegetational distortions we see on the planet are a direct consequence of man's separation from God and Satan's inability. That is why the Son of God was manifested. That he might destroy the works of the devil. The only person that can right the wrongs on the planet is God. But he cannot do it except through his sons. For the heavens belong to God. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. That is why you and I must pray. If we don't pray, God does not have a portal. He does not have an avenue through it to channel his power to right the things that Satan has gone wrong. Is it clear? Don't mix the devil and God up. They're not kin. Satan was an angel created by God. His separation from God doomed him. Now he's trying to pretend as if he's God, but he's not God. And his limitations are showing up. He's limited. There's so much he can do. He had only one third of the angels. They're a lot. They're what we call principalities and powers today. But they're limited. You cannot compare them to the majority of God's angels. That is why, really, if Christians understand these things, we will take prayer very seriously. Because you know why? We are already on the winning side. We totally overwhelm satanic forces. The angels of God outnumber them minimum 2-1. That's minimum. Because at the time he rebelled, it was 1/3. But since then, he cannot create more angels, but God can create more angels. That is why they say, you have come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, unto an innumerable company of angels. Glory be to God. Our victory is certain. But we need to step up to the plate. Romans 8. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be what? Revealed. Everybody say, we are here, but we've not been revealed. The Bible says, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he. So we're there, but it hasn't yet appeared. But it has to appear now. Verse 20. Yes, stay in the New International Version. Stay in the New International for now. For the creation was subjected, look at that word, frustration. Because Satan didn't have enough power to maintain it. Not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it in hope. God, now you see, I was sharing this with some of the pastors recently. Satan knows he cannot match God power for power. Satan is, he had his wisdom from God. He knows that. He doesn't fool himself about that. But he knows that because God is a God of righteousness and justice, he can win on a technical ground. He deludes himself to thinking that. That, you know, there are certain things God has the power to do, but God cannot do because God cannot lie. So he looks for legal technicalities in which to try and push God into a corner, so to speak, where God would have to do something so-called illegal, you know. So that's what he plays with. That's why, let me just tell you something. That is why Satan is more afraid of you than you are of him. But he doesn't want you to know. You are his greatest nightmare. Because if you subject yourself to God and pray and allow God to do this work in you, he's finished. He knows that. You don't know it. So rather than allow you to pray, he will distract you. He will give you toys. He can give you prosperity. He can give you anointing. He can cause things to happen so long as you don't grow. And you never become like the Son of God. You are no threat to him. And that is what he's given the Pentecostal church. He doesn't care how much you make noise and all, you know, all the things that you do. So long as you don't come to the fullness of the Son of God, you are no threat. And do you know, he knows better than you do that Jesus cannot come until that happens. So he said, let's see if we can push this thing another 1,000 years. Let's see if we can push it another 500 years down the road. After all, he pushed the dark ages. He did. The early church, with all this glory we read about Peter. Within the next 100, by the next 100 years, you know, 100 to 150 years, all those things had stopped. Then the Bible was locked up in monasteries for until 1517. That's 1,500 years. And he's trying to play the same card now. To see if I can fool them, if I can distract them, if I can give them some toys to play with, you know, and probably kill some of them, especially those ones who have the knowledge and all of that, kill them and shut them up. I can push this thing now another 500 years. But he will fail. Because some of us have woken up. We know the truth. And the truth will set us free. So God subjected creation to Satan's dominion in the hope, next verse, that creation itself, you see, God was going to do things legally. He was not going to take the creation away from Satan. He said, let him have it. But I have put a seed in the earth, for the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And I have the hope that one day my sons will grow, and then they will deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. That the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the Son, of the children of God. The glory of God causes the creation to be liberated from the bondage of corruption. For we know, verse 22 and 23, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until everybody shout, now. Now. For the first time, this is the beginning of sorrows, for the first time, we have had a plague that has shut the entire world down. It's never happened before. We've had Ebola. We've had the Spanish flu. We had swine flu. We had bird flu. But we've never had one like this. Things have moved to another level. And therefore, the church needs to move to another level to meet the challenge of this time. This coronavirus called an evil genius. The way it works is the scientists are still, astounded by the way it just goes in and enters into the human system. But it will be defeated in Jesus' name. Verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. He's talking about us, born again, Spirit-filled Christians who speak in tongues. Even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the what? The redemption of our body. This body is the problem. We need to put the life of God inside this physical body to redeem the body. Our spirits are redeemed. We're born again. Our minds are being renewed. We need the body too now to get in line. So that it will now become a channel. It becomes an avenue to which the life and the glory of God will now manifest and deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. How are we going to do this? We have to do it two things. Number one, we have to have a revelation of it. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. And I'm going to look at verse 11. I shall look at 10 and 11. Look at the Amplified Bible. The Amplified. Now, this is Paul speaking, but we're all to follow Paul as Paul was following Christ. Every Christian who is being touched by this message should aspire to this. He said, for my determined purpose, I didn't hear you, is that I may know him, that I may progressively, I didn't hear you, become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more what? Strongly and more clearly. That I may, in the same way, come to know, everybody say no, the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, so that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible I may attain unto the spiritual and moral resurrection. This is not the resurrection of the rapture. This is the transformation of the physical body that lifts me out from among the dead while in the body. This is where God wants us to get to. And how are we going to get there? There is no shortcut, folks. It's going to be by continual daily prayer. There's a prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. That Paul prays, said that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. That become more rooted and grounded in love. That may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the body of Christ. To know the love of Christ, which is greater than all, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is our assignment now. Pray that prayer daily. Pray in the Spirit daily so that you can experience resurrection power now. Stand to your feet. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. See, I don't care what you're facing now. I don't care the problems. I don't care what the devil has done. I believe, like Abraham our father, I hope against hope. I believe that this life of God made manifest in our mortal flesh. Like Abraham gave birth to Isaac, we are going to manifest the fullness of the Son of God. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. And no matter what you're facing now at home, what your struggles are now, because he lives, you can face tomorrow. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, we have access to resurrection life and power. And we can make it manifest now. Because he lives. They called him Jesus.
They called him Jesus.
He came to love.
He came to love.
heal and forgive.
Heal and forgive.
He lived and died.
He lived and died.
To buy my pardon.
To buy my pardon.
An empty grave.
An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives.
We can face tomorrow, folks.
We can face tomorrow.
Because He lives.
Because He lives.
All fear, the fear of coronavirus and any other thing.
All fear is gone.
Because we know.
I don't know what you're facing, but because Jesus lives, because the resurrection is not a theory, it is not a philosophy, it is a fact. Billions of Christians all over the earth have experienced the transformation power of the resurrection in their hearts. Millions, untold millions of us, speak in supernatural languages we never learned. These are physical evidences of the resurrection. And we are moving forward to now allow that resurrection power to be made manifest in our mortal flesh. No matter what you're facing now, because Jesus lives, you can face tomorrow. You can face on certain time. If you're being attacked with coronavirus, it will go. As you hear this message, I send the word of healing. The Bible says He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. We reverse its effect in your physical body right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever you're facing now, stretch forth your hands towards your device. And I'm going to release resurrection power, resurrection life to help you in your situation and to deliver you. Father, we pray for everyone on the sound of my voice. Lord, this special Easter, I pray for everyone. Those who are listening, who are not even born again, I pray their hearts be changed through this word, like you did in Cornelius' house. Lord, even as Peter spoke the word, the hearts of Cornelius and his people were changed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I release power. Power to change the heart. Power to change the life. Power to speak in tongues. Power to heal. Power to deliver. In the name of Jesus. Any uncertain future becomes certain. Because Jesus lives, you can face tomorrow. Let's pray. Just stretch forth your hands. I'm going to pray for you in the spirit. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for anyone on the sound of my voice. If you're here, you're listening, you're home, you're not born again. See, being born again is not just going to a church. It's a supernatural change of your inner nature. So that sin becomes unattractive. Just like what happens when a woman has a baby, when a woman gets pregnant, the hormonal changes in her causes certain foods that she used to enjoy before, they cause her to even throw up. In the same way, when you truly get born again, the spiritual changes in your inner nature will make sin unattractive. It doesn't mean you cannot sin, but it will become unattractive, unlike it used to be. And if you haven't had that, you're not really born again. You might go to church, you might be religious, but if that change in the heart hasn't happened, then you need to have that change. And I'm going to pray for you. Just pray this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have the nature of sin inside me, but I don't want it to continue to dominate me. So, this Easter Sunday, I believe Jesus died for my sins, shed his blood for the forgiveness and the cleansing of my sins, and he was raised again from the dead on the third day for my justification. So now I accept him as my Savior, and I confess him as my Lord, and I receive this resurrection life into my heart to change my nature, to make me a child of God, to make me born again, to receive eternal life. Father, help me. Teach me your ways. Show me how to love and serve you. And I determine in my heart to serve you in righteousness and in holiness all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've accepted that, you can email us. We have all our information on the screen. We have all our books. There's a lot of resources. You can get our website that will explain all of these things to you. And of course, you can give us a call. You know, we'll be so glad to hear from you and help you. This hour we're living in, this dark hour of the earth, you need God. And this is the time to accept him. God bless you. Amen. We're going to close the service now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts on you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a happy Easter.
Happy Easter. We love you. a lovely resurrection time in Jesus' name. We love you. God bless you.